Go ahead, be seated. Open up your Bibles with me. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Pretty familiar scripture, but I just couldn't get away from this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 says this: "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." I'm going to just stop there for a second. Cast not away your confidence. See, sometimes the enemy will try to discourage you. He'll try to get you to quit and give up on whatever it is you're speaking or whatever it is you're believing God for. But here he says, you know, don't cast that away, because it has great recompense of reward. In other words, that word recompense there means promise. It has a promise of a reward. Come on now. See, God wants you to have things. God wants you to receive things. But understand, it's not on God's side as far as giving goes, because again, His promises are yes and amen. You got to realize sometimes it's us not getting lined up like we need to be. And sometimes, because there's a real devil out there, things are getting hindered by Satan, the evil one. Amen. We have evidence of that when Daniel prayed. He said, "From the very first day you prayed, I was sent with the answer." But how many knows it's 21 days later before he finally got there with the answer? You see, so if you give up before you 21 days or 21 months, come on now. If you look at Abraham, 25 years. But God's plan never changed in any of that. Now, did Abraham falter from time to time? Yes, he did. And he messed up major when he faltered. But if when it came right down to it, he got lined back up. And all you read in the New Testament is about how faithful Abraham was. God don't bring up his mistakes. Come on now, think about it. God forgot all that, and all he says, he believed God. It was imputed to him for righteousness. We'll be reading that in a little bit. Amen. So it says, you know, don't cast away your confidence, which hath great recompense or reward. Now listen to this. For you need have need of patience. Patience. I know we don't like patience, but you got to understand that patience is what's going to eventually work into the place for you that the Bible says where you'll be entire, lacking or wanting nothing. It's what James says. Let it have its perfect work. Amen. See, because it's going to produce faith in you. You're going to be able to bring out whatever it is God you're wanting from God. It's going to come to pass because you have the patience. So he says, you know, you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. See, you can't make it happen. Understand that. You cannot make, but what you can do is believe the Word and stand on the Word and be patient in the Word, and God will bring it to pass. How do I know that? Well, he goes right on and says, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry." In other words, it's just going to be a little while. Now, you've got to understand God's little while might be a little different from your little while. Right? Because his timing might be just a little bit different. Okay? When God says, "Wait a minute," that could be a while. Right? Because 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years as far as the Lord is concerned. But not most of the time. He doesn't make us wait that long. But I'm just saying, you know, so that you don't get impatient, make sure you stay, you know, patient and have that. He says, "Now the just shall live by faith." See, if you've been born again, child of God, you got to live by faith. Amen. If you receive Jesus as your Savior, you got to live by faith. But he says, "If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." There's no place to draw back to, church. There's nothing in the world that's worth missing heaven for. And we need to see that. I don't care what it is and how great it seems for the present time. We're in this thing for the long run. We're in this thing for eternity. So there's no present pleasure, no present thing that should cause us to miss heaven for. We need to keep just pressing. So he says, you know, if you draw back, I'll have no pleasure in it. But now listen, here's what I like about the writer of Hebrews. He says, "But we're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." So Paul says, you know, it is possible that you can draw back. I believe Paul wrote Hebrews, and you can argue with me if you want, but, you know, theologians argue about it, but it falls in line with his like writings. But anyway, the writer here says, you know, you can fall back, but thank God we're not of those that fall back. but those that believe to the saving of the soul. We're going to stay in faith, in other words. We're going to keep being doers of the Word, praise God. Okay? So, you know, we don't even and should never have even the thought of drawing back, right? Because see here, now let's just talk about this a second. Basically, there's kind of two kinds of people, okay? There's those that are the doers, and there are those that are the doubters. So you're either doing the Word or you're doubting the Word. Right? Because if we're doing the Word, it means we believe the Word, so we're acting on it. But if we're doubters, then we won't do it. Right? Come on, if we're doubting the Word, we're not going to act on something we're doubting about. Come on now. But if we're doers, then we believe what we say. Now, jump over here with me to Numbers. Again, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, but it brings some things out here. In chapter 13 of Numbers, verse 27 is where we're going to begin to read. This, once again, is where Moses sent out the spies to spy the land before they went over into the promised land. He sent out, you know, one from each tribe. They came back. And let's pick it up in verse 27. And it says, "And they told him and said, 'We came into the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it.'" So right there, out of their mouth, they're confessing that the land they went and saw was just like God said it was. God did not lie about this land that they went and checked out. Okay? See, understand, God's not a man that he can lie. God always tells the truth. And sometimes it's we that get things messed up there, right? Okay, now listen. He says, you know, they showed them the fruit of the land. Remember, they brought back the grapes and they brought back the fruit and said, "This, look at this. It's just like God said it was." And goes on and says, "Nevertheless," you see, here we go now. "The people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." Now listen to this though. "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome.'" See that? We are well able to overcome it. Now see, what we have here is we've got two reports going on. We've got the report of those doubters that's saying, you know, "We say it just like God said, but," or nevertheless, "there's a problem over there." You see, what they just did was they put all those people above God. They put their problem above God. So Caleb immediately jumps in and says, "Wait a minute, hold before you get..." No, stop. Let's go right now and let's take it. You see, faith acts. Doubters talk. Come on now. Doubters will talk about what they're going to do, or they'll talk about why they can't do it. But if you're really a doer, you're going to act on faith. You're going to go ahead. Caleb says, "We're well able." Well, you see, Caleb knew it wasn't going to be in their strength. God had already told him he'd go with them. God had already told him they could have it. See, Caleb was just believing God. If God tells you you can have something, hell or high water cannot stop you from getting it. Only thing can stop you from getting it is you. You just got to believe God if God said it. Now listen, Caleb says, "Let's go, we're well able." But the men that went with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." See, they're looking at their own self. Can I just tell you something? I'm standing here not because of who I am or my strength or anything else. I still wonder sometimes, why in the world would God call somebody like me? But I also realize this, that I stand in His power and His Spirit. It ain't me, it's Him. When I look around and see what God's done, I know God did it, not me or not you. God used us, but He did it. You see, when you start realizing that, they did not see, they said, "They're stronger than we." No, they were not stronger. Do you understand that you and God are greater than any enemy that would ever come against you? Why? Because you got God on your side. You are a majority when God's on your side. Right? That's why He says you're more than a conqueror. Right? That's why it says you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. Why? Because as long as you're operating in God, you can't be defeated. Only thing you can do if you quit. And we're not quitters. We're not of them that draw back. He just said that. So he goes on, they said they're stronger than we. And they brought up, listen, an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we've gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Not only have they got their mind fixed on the fact that they can't do nothing, they're now saying what the giants were seeing. How? They don't know what the giants were seeing. Come on now. You see, and I start thinking immediately, you know, you can look and find out that David, when the giant Goliath was out there. Now, giant, according to the Word of God, he was a big guy, over 9 feet tall. I mean, his shield weighed something like 120 pounds. You know, I mean, you've got this mammoth guy. And you've got what the Bible describes as a small, ruddy guy, David. One's got a sword and a spear, and the other's got a slingshot. Come on, think about it, a sling. And as David goes out to meet that giant, he stops in the brooks and picks him up 5 smooth stones. And when he goes out there, the giant starts laughing, mocking, making fun. And David just looks at him and says, you know, you come to me with a spear and a shield and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. See, there was all the difference right there. It didn't matter how big the giant was. And the giant started running toward David. And guess what David did? He started running toward the giant. He didn't run from him. He ran toward him. And he took that sling and he started swinging that thing. And when he released it, you can think what you want. Okay, this is just me. But I believe the power of God took that rock, that stone, and the Bible says it sunk up into his forehead and it killed him. The giant fell dead. And then David had told him, he said, I'm going to cut your head off, feed it to the fowls. Well, David didn't have a sword. What did David do? He grabbed the giant's sword and cut his head off with his own sword. Well, you know, David didn't have... You know where the army was? You know where the doubters were? They were hid over yonder, peeping up their head and saying, what's going on now? What's happening over there? Because they were afraid of... The whole army was afraid of the giant. And one small, ready boy that believed God went out to meet the giant and destroyed him. Killed him. I'm going to tell you something. I see a bunch of giant slayers out there. You guys are well able. You just can't be a doubter. You can't just quit. You got to be a doer. Come on. You got to face your problem. Face your enemy. Face whatever it is, the obstacle that's in front of you. And press in and know that I am an overcomer. I can do this. See, when you make up your mind you can do it, that's half the battle, maybe 2/3 of the battle. Just getting it settled in your head, I can. I can. And that's what God wants you to get in your head. See, here, if you start studying this, the doubters, they actually hindered the plan of God. God had told them, you know, He said, you're going to cross over into the promised land here. We're going to go, but because of their doubting, because they saw themselves as not big enough or not good enough to defeat that, they ended up wandering for 40 years in the wilderness until all of those died. 20 years and under. They all died off until a new generation that came up. Even Moses died, and Joshua then took them over into their promised land. Why? Because the Bible says Caleb went too. You know why? Because if we go on over there, we read, by God Himself says that He had a different kind of spirit in Him. What kind of spirit he had? He had a spirit that believed God, not that doubted God. So Caleb, he got to go into the promised land. But here's the thing, you know what Caleb said? When Joshua got ready to divide out the promised land and the places for the different people, Caleb looks at him and says, you remember back there when we were getting ready to do all this and God said I could have that mountain where those giants are? And Joshua said, yep. Caleb says, give me my mountain. Now, he said, I was 45 years old when that started. I'm 85 now. And I'm just as strong now and just as able now. Now, listen, though. He said, I'm just as able now as long as God is with me. to go back. And you know what he did? He went back to the mountain. He ran off the giants and took his mountain. Why? Because God was with him. He never doubted what God would do through him. You cannot doubt. You may look at your own abilities. I hear people all the time say, "Well, I can't do that." You listen. We grew up with a teacher who always, if you said "I can't," she'd say, "I can't, never could do nothing." You know, and I'm gonna tell you, can't never could do nothing until you try. Come on, you don't know until you try what you can do. And once you invoke God into your life and start using faith, you'll be amazed what you can do through God.
Amen.
Come on. It's God's giving you the strength. Right? I can do all things through Christ.
Right.
The anointing. When you're anointed, you can do some things. So, you know, let me give that to you, that verse. I got it down here. Numbers 14:24. It says, "But my servant Caleb, because he have another spirit with him, and have followed me fully," no, he believed me, "him bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it." See, God says, you know, because he had a different spirit. Now, let's jump over here to Nehemiah chapter 3. In Nehemiah chapter 3, he hears that, you know, that Jerusalem has been burned, the gates have been burned, and the walls have been torn down. And it saddens his heart to the place. He's actually a cupbearer to the king where he's in bondage. And after he heard it, he got so sad about it. He says, I've never come before the king before with a sad countenance. But he came that day and he was sad. And the king noticed he was sad. And the king asked him, he said, what is it that's going on with you? You're not like normally like this. This is not like you to be sad. And he says, well, you know, how could I be happy when my homeland lays in ruins? And then the king looks at him and says, what do you want to do? What is it you'd like to do? And he said, I prayed.
Amen.
I prayed and asked God.
Yes.
Can I tell you something? Sometimes the answer to what you need, you start out in prayer. Come on. Can I go ahead and say most of the time? You know, sometimes it's obvious, but most of the time. He said, I prayed and I went back to the king and I told him what I'm going to need. And the king asked him, how long do you think it's going to take? And he told him how long it's going to take. And he didn't just see. Here's the thing. When you got the favor of God, it gives you favor with man. Come on. So Nehemiah starts naming off. He said, well, I'm going to need some letters from you so I can get safe passage over there. Oh, and by the way, if you don't care, would you send a letter over there and so I can get some of those cedars from Lebanon to build things back? And I can get some good wood. And I mean, he starts talking. And by the way, I think I'm going to need a squadron of soldiers maybe to go with me just for protection. And King granted it all to him. And he rides in there to Jerusalem, and there's the people and the places in ruins, and he doesn't tell anybody what he's doing. And at night he gets out and he rides around and surveys everything that's going on. He comes back and then he gets with the leaders. And he said, here, let me tell you what's on my heart that God wants us to do. And he began to tell them. He said, listen, God wants us to rebuild everything. He wants us to build the gates back, build the walls back. He wants his city built back. Now, of course, there was folks there. Once they heard this, oh, they were mad. And it wasn't Israelites. It was their enemy. They're all mad and say, what do they think they're going to do? They think they can build that thing back up. They can't do that. But see, they were looking at the people. They didn't realize God was on their side. And so they begin to work on this thing, begin to build this thing. And the whole time, the enemy is agonizing them. Why don't you come down here? Let's talk about that a little bit. Why do you think you're going to do this? One said, well, you know, if a fox jumped on that wall, he'd tear it down. Nehemiah just kept building. When they said, won't you come, let's talk about this. Nehemiah said, I don't got time. I'm busy doing the work. See, you cannot let the enemy pull you away from what God's called you to do. You got to continue doing. I said it a minute ago. The talkers sit around and tell you why it can't be done or how it can't be done while you're doing it. People were driving up and down this road looking up in this hall and saying, what in the world are they doing up there? I'm taking faith. They can't do that. No, we couldn't. But we had a vision from God. And God did it. And He's still doing it, church. He's still doing it. He took 30 people. Now you think about this. 30 people that were average attenders. Nobody rich. Nobody millionaires. And we started with 30 people in a rented building. But I knew the vision that God had given us. I knew in my heart what God wanted. And we started trying to find some property. And we were driving by this. And man, I thought, wow, let's look at that. We came up here and walked around it. And we had some biblical reference to that. God told Joshua, He said, everywhere you put your feet, you can have. And so we started claiming that promise. One of the wealthiest guys in probably in Sayersville at the time owned this. And we went and talked to him. And I said, would you sell that? And he said, yeah, I'd sell it. And to make a long story short, he sold us the property, then gave us an offering back after we bought the property to bless the place. And God did the rest. He just took this place. Dozers came in here for free and pushed us out. People were volunteering for free. We worked all through a Thanksgiving weekend, leveling all this down. The fuel was even given to us free. And I had to drive to Pike County to get it, but we got it. Now, again, you've got to be a doer. You can't just sit around and wish it had happened. Come on now. You've got to put some legs to your faith. But after the end of that weekend, there it was. You know, one of those dozers was brand new. Came from Caterpillar Equipment. I'll give them some props there. The other at that time came from Branham and Baker Coal. And we got to use them all weekend. And Branham and Baker furnished the fuel for us. And we got to do all this. See, that's when God is in something, He gives you favor with man. You see, so you've got to understand, it's not you. None of that was me. None of it was me. God used different people here. I've already told you about the truck drivers that brought the gravel out here to get the driveway. It was just mud and dirt and whatever. Brother Tim Tackett, he's going on to be with the Lord. And he loaded coal. And he asked those guys, he said, would you haul some gravels? Because where they worked at, there was a quarry close. And they said, when you come back from your last load, would you go get a load of gravels and take up there? And they'll pay you when you get there. And we was up there waiting on this. About three or four of them volunteered. Five. I don't remember exactly how many trucks it was. But they came out there and they started at the gate. And the first one came through, started raising his bed. 18-wheelers now. Dumping out the gravels as they come. The next one, they dumped all the way up. And the first one come up there. I said, what do I owe you? He said, nothing. I said, nothing. I said, you know, at least let me pay for the gravels. Nope. Nope. I said, well, we sure thank you. And he goes on. Here comes the next guy up there and stops. I said, what do you owe? What did he charge you? I said, he wouldn't take no money. I ain't taking no money either then. And you know what? Every one of them trucks, they never charge us a dime. That's God, folks. That's God. Again, it's like the cedars of Lebanon. God's getting them give to you. That's what God will do when you'll be a doer and not a doubter. I could have changed. Again, I've told you this before. A banker tried to get me to change the plan. Can't you build something smaller? Because, you know, this was back in 2000. I guess I was rounding this thing up in 99. You know, getting the money, getting ready to get the money. And it was going to be $350,000. Now, that's a lot of money. Especially for 30 people. Right? There was four of us, me and D. Tackett and a couple other guys that signed that loan for that $350,000. Because one person and our bunch wasn't good enough. We had to put our surety. I stayed a surety up until we built this building back there. My name was on everything. But you see, it didn't bother me any because I believed God. I knew God wanted this stuff done. Brother D knew God wanted this stuff done. And we didn't care a bit to sign that because we knew God would bring it to pass. Come on. And I mean, He brought it to pass a lot faster than we ever thought we could. When I start looking at things, it just kind of blows my mind. In 1998, we started in the library down there meeting together. And all of a sudden, here we got a pretty good little bit. And that was in like February. And by March or April 1, we got a rented building that had never been used. the upstairs floor. Nobody had used it for anything. And so they renovated it for us the way we wanted it, put our bathrooms in it. And so we got in new carpet, a new section up there. That was in 1988. In 1999, I quit my job at Branham Baker Coal and went full time. And by February of 2000, we were already putting plumbing in the ground here. And by fall of 2000, we had our first service. You see, that's what God will do. Think about that for a minute. Isn't God good? Be a doer if you'll believe God. Now, you can look at that and then say, well, you fellows did. No, we didn't. God did. God did it. When you understand that, it don't matter how big the giant is. Come on. It don't matter. This place now, I've told you all of this, it's the praises for over $2 million. Think about that. There's 20 acres on this side, 6 acres over on the other side of the road. God's good. All the time. I just go ahead and talk about it just a little bit more. Is it all right if I talk about it a little bit more? All this that you see around through the back here, because this was all just a big hollow. And it just sloped off around through here. All this around through here. I knew we needed more room. We went down and we talked to Rondell Reed, Ranger Construction. Now, I didn't really know Rondell very well. Brother D knew of Rondell some. But we told him what we wanted to do up here. And I knew we'd have to have a drill. Brother Dave Schaefer worked for Brandeis at the time. He got us a dozer for free. He got us an excavator for free. We went down and talked to Rondell about getting a drill. I used to be a driller when I was in the strip mine. I said, I can run it if you rent it to us or let us use it. And it ended up being that he let us use the thing. And I drilled it. We had the heart blasted because it was too close to the building. But everything you see, all the dirt that was moved, all that was filled in, you know what it cost us? Just the fuel. Just the fuel. The equipment was furnished. Rondell took care of that and done that. And so every time I see him, I thank him. I'll thank him. I'll get around. I'll say, I want you to just know how much I appreciate what you did. Now, he won't take no credit for it. So you're looking at me, but he would just, I believe God moved on his heart to do that. He's got a good heart anyway, but I believe God moved on his heart to do that. And so, I've seen so many things that God just did. That balcony up there was poured free of charge. Concrete. The concrete guys never charge us for pouring the balcony. They usually get paid so much a yard. And especially when you got a pump truck pumping it through the upstairs. It's just one thing after another. Why? Because when God says do something, God will not only take care of it, if you'll stay faithful, He'll make sure it gets done. You see, because that's just who God is. If they would have just believed God, that those spies, they could have had that land. They wouldn't have had to wander for 40 years. Here, Nehemiah believed God, and when it comes down to it, the Bible says that the people had a mind to work, and they finished the walls. They finished what God wanted them to do. Now, jump over here with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might." You see that? Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." See, you got to understand, just because God's blessing you, just because God's giving you an assignment, does not mean that the devil won't come against you and try to stop you. See, you've got to understand that. The enemy is always at work trying to hinder you and hinder the plan of God. He hates you. Why? Because God loves you. And God wants to use you to bring about His will here in this earth. And so the devil's always coming. So he says, put upon you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore." Do everything you need to do and then just stand and watch what God does. See, you go on there and it begins to describe the armor of God. And he gets down there and says, you know, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Amplified calls them flaming missiles. How many knows the devil will shoot some things at you? Right? But he says, having done all, stand. You see, you've got to understand that there'll be plenty of opportunities for you to run. Plenty of opportunities for you to quit. But the victory only comes to those that choose to fight. See, you can't win a battle running. Come on now. You can't win a battle just playing defense. Come on now. I mean, I got a bunch of sports fans in here. I know all of you hearts broken over Kentucky and all that stuff, you know. But yeah. I haven't watched since they got into some stuff with Calipari that I didn't approve of, and so I've not watched them none. But I do know this. Here's the thing. You've got to have a good defense on any ball team. Okay? You've got to have it. Yeah, you have to have. But if you don't have offense with the defense, you cannot win a game just playing defense. You have to have offense. Can I tell you something? You cannot just play defense against the devil all the time. Sometimes you've got to take it right to his face. When they're playing basketball, they'll suddenly say, you've got to take it to the goal. You've got to charge that goal or whatever it is. You know, and it's that way with you. You've got to move. You can't just sit back and whine and complain and you know, well, I'm, oh God, don't let this happen. Oh God, don't. No, you've got a mouth. And because you're anointed, your words are anointed. And you need to begin to speak out the finished product rather than speak out the situation you're in right now. You see, that being a doer of the word, you're not talking what, you know, what might happen, what could happen. And you're speaking out, this will happen. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. Why? Because I have faith in God. I believe God. I'm proclaiming a thing, declaring a thing, and it shall come to pass according to the Word of God. Amen. Now, there's a lot of people don't, and that they can do what they want to. I don't know about you guys. I'm already speaking against what they say is coming after a while. I mean, it's already coming out of my mouth. Now, you can do what you want to do. But I've learned that I can speak out, and my words have power. Amen. See, I know it's funny, but I mean, I'm already saying storms, you can't damage my property. Waters, you can't get out of the banks. And I mean, you can die. I believe it. I believe it. And I'm going to stand on it. Pastor Ed said last year I needed to shut up. We wasn't getting enough rain for our water or garden. She said, you've got to quit because you can watch it. You come and think, I'd think, man, we're going to get some water in the garden. But then all of a sudden, you know, your words have power. When you're a doer of the word and you're speaking the word and acting on the word, God is right there with you. You understand that, right? It's not just you because God's backing up his word because it's forever settled in heaven. God can't lie. So now I'm operating, I'm being a doer of the word, and even though the enemy may try to come against me, I'm not going to let it hinder me. And again, you've got to get back to the fact, you've got to understand, now things are done in God's timing. It don't always happen in your time. Sometimes things don't happen the way we think should happen or whatever. Listen to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. It will come to pass. Listen to this one. Isaiah 40:31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Waiting upon the Lord. Sometimes we try to get ahead of God. But we need to make sure that we're waiting on the Lord. And once the Lord gives us yes, to go ahead, gives you the go, gives you the green light, then you don't stop for nothing. But he says, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up with eagle wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You just keep pushing. You just keep pressing in. Why? Because I've gotten God with me. You see, once God tells you to do something, you stay with it. Now, sometimes that'll be a little hard on you. Okay? Sometimes it's a little tough because you're not seeing the manifestation yet. And maybe you're in a bad place right now. Maybe it don't look the best ever was. But you got to realize it don't matter how it looks. If God said it, it's settled. See, I mean, I'm thinking about Abraham. Remember Abraham? God has promised him, you know, when he comes, God comes to him again and says, you know, I'm going to multiply your seed. And Abraham said, hey, go multiply my seed. The only person in my home, the seed I've got in my home right now is not even from me. God said, I'm going to give it to you from your seed. And so he says, how do I know you're going to do this, God? And God tells him, he said, you go out and you start getting these animals. Go out and get some sacrifices. And the Bible said Abraham went and got those sacrifices. And he split them all except there were some turtle doves. It says the birds he didn't split up. But he laid them out there. And while he's waiting on God, the Bible says that he had to fight the fowls off of that sacrifice. He's got it all laid out there. He's worked and got this sacrifice for God laid out there. And here come the fowls. Here come the vultures or whatever it was trying to steal the sacrifice he had laid out for God. You know what the Bible says? He fought them off. He kept them fought off. And then God showed up. And he went into a deep sleep. And here comes God with his lantern and walking back and forth between the sacrifices. And the Bible says that God made a covenant that day with Abraham. It's the Old Testament. It's the covenant that God made with them. And he made a covenant with Abraham. So shall thy seed be. You know, you and I are blessed because of that covenant. The Bible says if you're Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What promise? I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless them that bless you. I'll curse them that curse you. Come on, church. You see, why? Because I'm going to continue to stay faithful and do what the Word says. Just like Abraham was faithful. Now, Abraham was not perfect. He messed up some. You're going to mess up some. I know you think you're perfect. I know you realize it. You know, you're just... And as far as God looks at you as perfect. But you do mess up from time to time. But thank God, all I got to do is just say, God, you know what? I messed up. Repent. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what God says? Well, that's one mark against you. No, He doesn't say that. No, He doesn't. He doesn't give you three strikes and you're out. Once you confess that, the Bible says God chooses to throw it to the depths of the sea, never to be remembered again. It's totally forgotten. You got a clean slate. If it's brought back up again to you, it'll either be you or the devil. And he's the accuser of the brethren, the Bible says. God won't accuse you of anything. He'd just be glad that you decided to repent and come back. Listen, stay with the Word. Keep doing what the Word says. And be a doer of the Word, not a doubter of the Word. And you watch what comes to pass in your life. God will bless you like you wouldn't believe. Amen? Come on, stand to your feet with me. Let's pray. Father, we bless you and praise you and thank you, God, today. Thank you, Father God, that we are doers of the Word. Thank you, Father God, we're blessed through faithful Abraham.